here's a story from The World.
It's been more than 24 hours now since the collapse of the Champlain Towers South condos in Miami. Four deaths have already been reported by local authorities, and the count of missing people is still fluid. Here's the mayor of Miami-Dade County, Daniela Levine Cava, speaking earlier today.
We will continue search and rescue because we still have hope that we will find people alive.
Bianca Padro Ocasio is a reporter with the Miami Herald. She joins us from Miami. First of all, Bianca, what have we learned today? What is the latest that we know from what officials are saying?
So this morning we learned that overnight rescuers brought out three more bodies, bringing the death count to a total of four this morning. And the count of people who are unaccounted for, so the people who are missing right now, has also risen to 159. We know that rescuers have been working overnight. It was a very stormy night in Miami last night, so there was a lot of rain, and rescuers said that they did work through the storm. Right now, officials are saying that it is still a search and rescue mission, and families are holding out for hope.
Bianca, I know you've been to the scene of the Champlain Towers collapse. What have you seen and who have you spoken to?
So there are kind of two separate scenes in Surfside right now. So there's the one on 88th Street, which is where the Champlain Towers is located. It is just a frightening scene, really. You can see half the building, the one that faces the beach side, just completely flattened. And you can see overnight, I was there until about 2 or 3 in the morning, and there were cranes still working to lift parts of the rubble and parts of cement. They say they're listening any sort of sound, even to the point of scratching, they can hear. So that's what it looks like. There's not a lot of people really at the scene of the collapse, but then a few blocks north, there's a family reunification center, and that's really where we spoke to a lot of families who were trying to show up to see if they could hear any news about their missing loved ones. And there's so many people there from, you know, relatives. There's also friends. There's a lot of volunteers, people who have brought in bottles of water. And you have to remember, a lot of these residents, even though they survived, they pretty much lost everything. So they have blankets and clothing. And I remember Thursday morning, there were people there who were barefoot, who just kind of ran out, didn't have a cell phone, nothing. So the donations have been kind of pouring in. But obviously later in the night, the mood was kind of changing a little because it was almost 24 hours since the collapse. So at that point, families were giving some of them DNA samples so that authorities could match to the identities of some of the people they have been trying to find.
Tell us about Surfside, this community in Miami where the building collapsed. Who lives there and how's the local community responding?
So Surfside is a really small town. I mean, someone was talking to me yesterday about, you know, like nothing happens in Surfside. There are people who are part-time residents, so they have, you know, second homes or apartments near the beach. But there are people who this is their home, and there is a big Jewish community, big Orthodox community, and they have their own synagogues there. This is where they live. A lot of the restaurants there are, you know, kosher restaurants. And I think that obviously, even though not all of the residents in the building were Jewish, a lot of them were. And so there was a lot of assistance from the Israeli consulate, offered help. There were a lot of relief organizations that work with the Jewish community that were also there. But also, as is true for most of South Florida, there was a big Latin American community from many different countries that also lived in that building. So those were also some of the stories we were hearing yesterday of people who had family members visiting and were just caught in the commotion and the chaos.
I know, according to your own reporting, at least 25 people who are missing are from Latin American countries, including Colombia, Paraguay, Chile, Argentina, and Puerto Rico, U.S. territory. Are we already seeing responses from those governments and family members from abroad?
Well, I think one of the most, I guess, high-profile cases we've seen so far is that of the sister of the First Lady of Paraguay, who was living there with her husband and their three young children, and they have been missing so far. And I should say they were also accompanied by a woman who was a domestic worker at their home. So six people were in this apartment and all had very strong links to this foreign government. So we do know that members of the Paraguayan government and family members of the people who were there have begun to make their way to Miami and fly here yesterday when they heard the news. But so far, I think that people are just still trying to make out who are the people who are unaccounted for. So, for example, this morning, we heard from the Uruguayan embassy that they have three Uruguayans who are also missing. Some of them have dual citizenship in Argentina. So this is all to just really show you the international reach of this disaster. I mean, Miami and South Florida is really kind of a connecting city for the Latin America region. So it really has had far-reaching effects. And I should also say that Miami, through the latter part of the COVID-19 pandemic this year, a lot of Latin American visitors and tourists and immigrants have come to Miami to get the vaccine. So there were some people we spoke to yesterday whose family members were here in Miami getting the vaccine, and they were in the building when it collapsed. I talked to this gentleman from Colombia. He said his brother was here with his wife and their kids, and they have been missing since yesterday. So it's just really tragic to see that even when you have people kind of coming here to get a life-saving vaccine, now they're really missing. I mean, they haven't heard anything as of yesterday, last night. So they really are thinking about what to really do now with what's left.
Mm. Finally, as this all sets in, you're a member of this community too. You're a reporter in Miami. How has all of this affected you?
You know, it's pretty devastating. I actually live about 10 blocks from the collapse. It's pretty much walking distance. And I think that the devastation is just, can't really measure it. I mean, we've been talking to so many families who've just lost so much. And just seeing yesterday the way that people came together was really inspiring. But as the hours pass by, I think that people feel less and less hope about the news that they're going to get. And I think that sometimes time makes things feel like they're a little further away, but now it's the opposite. It's kind of like as the hours pass by, it feels like it's going to get worse. I just think that somebody who lives here, somebody who shops and eats and walks and enjoys the beach, it feels like the sense of safety of even living in these condos that are so coveted. I mean, this was a beachside apartment condo and it just collapsed. I think that a lot of people who are living in nearby areas are feeling a little bit that their safety has been just violated in that way. So we don't really know much about the causes of this collapse and exactly why it happened. But I think that everyone just feels really on edge and really unable to sleep.
Bianca Padro Ocasio is a reporter with the Miami Herald, talking with us about the collapse of the Champlain Towers South condos in Miami. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
From PRX.